3311.
Trying to eat healthy? Wish to shed unwanted pounds, but find it difficult to find a diet plan that fits your needs?
Look no further. Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating is your answer. Whether you're a diabetic, vegetarian, or looking for convenience, Seattle Sutton's can help.
Featuring delicious new menu items and vegetarian options, Seattle Sutton's is freshly prepared and portion controlled to make eating healthy easy.
For more information, visit SeattleSutton.com or call us now at 800-442-DIET. That's 800-442-3438.
It's your life, your health. Take control.
Call Tony Smith at the Highland office, 219-972-3438.
Railcats Baseball is back. This season's schedule is full of awesome giveaways, thrilling entertainment acts, and special themes. Tickets are only $5 to $10, and parking is always free. Save money with Railcats weekly specials. Kids eat free on Mondays, two for Tuesdays, dollar Wednesdays, thirsty Thursdays, firework Fridays, souvenir Saturdays, and the Times family Sundays. Group discounts are available for tickets, party decks, suites, picnics, and more. Railcats Baseball, fun, affordable, family entertainment. Get your tickets at RailcatsBaseball.com or call 219-882-2255. Railcats Baseball, entertaining the region.
In the Cayman region right now, and yes, indeed, Private Eyes are watching you. They are the eyes of the neighborhood. And the following is a paid program. The following half hour is a paid program paid for by the Edison Community Watch. And with that, I will turn this over to Hammond City Councilperson at large, Mrs. Janet Vanez. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Gene. Good morning, Region. Welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. This morning, our guest is Hammond Councilman at Large, Dan Spitali. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Councilwoman. How are you?
Good, good.
I want to thank you for inviting me here this morning, and looking for the opportunity to do this again, hopefully down the line.
Well, you're very welcome. You are a big part of the community and crime watch groups in Hammond, and we're honored to have you. If anybody has any calls, you can call in at 845-1100. So, Dan, long before you were councilman, you were involved with Woodmar Baseball for many years, from what I understand. What did you think of the Cal Ripken World Series, and how did you feel when you saw children of children that you coached playing?
Janet, before I get into that, I just want to make a couple of thank yous to yesterday we saw Assistant Chief Doty, who turned us on to Sergeant Bonner, who makes the stats for our handouts at the crime watches. I want to thank them, and in particular Sarge, for getting these to Councilwoman Vanez early this morning.
Great.
As far as Woodmar Baseball goes, I do want to bring one thing to the attention of the people who may not have been familiar with the area. Back in the day, Woodmar Baseball was second in line. Originally, Optimus Baseball took place at the location where the Tanglewood Apartments are. At that time, it was a field built before its time with a concession stand, two in-ground dugouts, and an announcer's booth.
And if anybody is watching, you can see the picture here that somebody gave Dan of the field from many years ago.
It was a souvenir given to me from some of the people of the past that ran that Optimist League, and it was called Optimist Park, which leads into what we're going to be talking about here just very shortly. It was a group of gentlemen that got together, put their own money together, and then Optimus itself put in money to get this field going. It was way before its time. It was a beautiful field, but it had to leave the area because the railroad took over and everything moved over to Jefferson School, which was then changed to Woodmar Baseball or Woodmar Boys and Girls Baseball because we did have a few women that came into the league, so we had to change it from just boys to girls also.
Yes, it was a period of revolution, wasn't it?
It definitely was. For our Woodmar Baseball, I was president of the league there from the mid-'80s to the mid-'90s. It was 10 years. During that time, we kept things going from the original league, again, which was Optimus, over by the Tanglewood. For 10 years, I was the president. We started all over again. When they tore that field down, we were just out there. It was like a football field. We ended up having snow fences for home run markers. We had a little trailer for the concession stand. Wow. But as we got together, the people, you can't do it yourself, the group got together, and we were having various Vegas nights. And the money we used, we finally got ourselves a block concession stand, cyclone fences.
I think I helped build those.
I think you did.
Going to the Vegas nights.
Yes, we appreciated that. It was great to have a lot of the people from the area that committed themselves for volunteering for their children, and that's what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
That leads us into what has happened now. We were in heaven, what we thought was the greatest back in the day, but now through the Mayor McDermott and his administration building these state-of-the-art fields throughout the city, enabled us to host this Cal Ripken tournament, which was the greatest event that I've seen in the city that brought thousands of people there. And now you were their councilwoman yourself.
It certainly was fabulous, yes.
I did have the opportunity to, there was a banquet prior to the opening day, which was on Friday, and I went in the back room and talked with all the managers from all the areas that they came from. And they couldn't say anything better. They said it was well organized. We had no arrests, which was great.
Right, right.
By talking to them, they said that the accommodations were just the best they could ever ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was well taken care of. Also, too, in the Woodmar League that we were at, being you had mentioned quite a few people were there, some of the people that I was affiliate with that are with the city now or were with the city, I'd like to mention a few names if that'd be okay. And hopefully
sure.
When you do this, you do miss a few. So if there's any calls that come in, excuse me on this. But some of our coaches that we had back in the day was Doyle Godbolt, Dennis Radowski, who's working with the city now, Butch Fought, who works for the city now, and our buddy the mailman, David Warple, was one of the managers of the league when I was president.
And you know what was funny, if I can interject just
sure.
a moment, I did see Dave Warple at a couple of the games, and he sat there reliving his time as a coach and talked about the fun that they used to have and all the kids that he got to know. It was kind of neat to hear some of the nostalgia.
It was great. I think the main thing about it was is we had to work hard to get what we have, what we had through our Vegas nights. We had exactly nothing going on there at all, but everything worked out really well to bring us to the point now where some of the players that were in the league that were affiliate with the city or are right now was Rick Kalinske, some names that you might remember. I'm sure you do. Ebby Gonzalez, who's a police officer now. Aaron McDermott. Dan and Michael Repe. Billy Hamm. My son, Dan Jr. Also, we had Annie Mamala, was there with her son in our league. Marge Marlowe, which is now Margie Dillon. She was in our league, and she was a treasurer for me. And June Walker, whose name has been changed also from another marriage, but she's with the water department. And the one guy that came up to me who I didn't know anything about at the time after we were fortunate enough to get some funds from the Optimus Club, I said, can I come and paint your concession stand? I guess you got tired of seeing it looking like it did. And that was Dave Hamm. So
oh,
I had the opportunity to meet Dave Hamm
yeah.
then.
So many people from the city continue to give year after year, and that's really refreshing. We do have a caller. I see Margie Dillon is on the line. Hi, Margie.
Hey. Dan's still there?
Yes, Dan's here.
Go ahead, Marge.
Can I talk to him?
Sure, he's here. Go ahead.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, don't holler at me if you're going to talk to me.
Well,
so you were.
I remember we all, there was Cynthia Burdine and me,
right,
and all of us that when we had that trailer over there. That was.
We were primitive, weren't we?
Yeah. So how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good, Marge. I hope everything's going good for you and Ernie. I just wanted to. I know there's some names that I missed, and I don't want to take the whole program up talking about that. But
that's right.
That our leak, we got up to about 200 kids, if you remember. You were on the board with me.
Yeah.
And with all the help from people like yourself and so many others, we were able to keep this league established so it could move over to where it's at right now, which is the back to the optimists. It went from optimists way back when with this picture that was showing, and it went to Woodmar, and then it went back to Optimist as a name again. So it was quite a cycle of success is what I look at it.
And all of you who volunteered back then really laid the groundwork for what we have today. And the Optimist field, well, all of our fields in Hammond are second to none. And we've really given our children some great opportunities to kind of experience a little bit what it would be like to make it to the bigs, as they say.
I think those kids that were in our league back then would have probably cut off a finger to be able to play in the confines
of
the
sure.
bill for the mayor put together
sure.
for the kids.
Absolutely.
Now.
Thanks, Margie.
Thanks,
it was great talking to you.
It was nice talking to you guys, too.
All righty.
Have a great day, Margie.
Take care. Well, you know, so many good things like our baseball go on in Hammond, and I don't know why people just, some choose not to recognize some of the good things that are going on in Hammond. And the last time we were on the air, a caller called in and asked the percentage of problem people in Hammond and guessed at about 40%. To me, I kind of took offense to that. How do you feel about that perception, Dan?
Well, Councilwoman, I feel that personally I think is the perception is unfair. We have a urban community with different challenges in many of our surrounding communities. It's unfortunate that we rarely see the headlines in the front page of a child who wins an essay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or any type of a contest and the success of a local chess club.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem to sell papers. Not that we don't need to be aware of the tragedies that occur in our neighborhood, but it is not that what the majority of the city is all about, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I believe that we are finding more and more that our residents are becoming proactive, and they really do pick up the phone and call the police. If anyone has any questions, feel free to call 845-1100. Of the three major cities in Northwest Indiana, I believe that Hammond is the most organized and has the most active community and crime watch groups. Each of our groups are different because they're tailored to our neighborhoods. Our common goal is our concern for our neighborhood and our city, and our messages are all the same. Call the police if you see something that is just not right. As councilman at large, you're responsible for the entire city. What does that mean?
Councilwoman, what that means is you're at large also, so
yes.
I see you at everything.
that means we're both at everything.
We sure try. A district councilman represents just one district. They're responsible for the projects in their district, and also they address the concerns of their district. As councilmen at large, we address the concerns of the residents citywide, as the mayor would. We receive calls from residents throughout the city and contact the appropriate department and communicate with the district councilman.
Always when I get a call from someone, I of course call the appropriate department, and if it's anything of consequence, I do communicate to the district councilman. If it's something like cleaning up a vacant lot, I don't think they need to be bothered with that. They have more pressing issues, like the projects that they have going on in their district. So, as a councilman, why do you attend these meetings, the community and Crime Watch meetings?
Well, Councilwoman, you can get a handle on what's happening in different parts of the city. I feel it's important that our residents know that I'm concerned about the neighborhood and willing to assist in any way that I can. The meetings take place like a mini mayor's meeting, mm-hmm. where we have incidents that they might ask from different parts of the city what's going on.
Kind of like the mayor's night out?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's incidentally, the mayor's night out is on the 28th.
Yes, this Wednesday.
At the Wolf Lake Pavilion.
Yes, exactly. If anyone, just because the mayor's night out is in the first district does not mean that if you live in the fourth district, you cannot attend. It is for all residents. The mayor takes questions for the entire city. So please come out. If you haven't been to the pavilion, treat yourself. It's really something to see. And in addition to being able to get whatever information you are looking for, the mayor is certainly willing to tell you what's going on. As a matter of fact, the next meeting of Edison Community Watch is Wednesday, September 4th at 6:30. Of course, at Edison School, and that address is 7025 Madison. Our guest speaker that night will be 4th District Councilman Bill Emerson. Dan, you will be in attendance, and I, of course, will be there. Also, Sergeant Muta, our community policing officer for the 4th District. What are the advantages for our residents to have so many city council members in attendance at Crime Watch meetings?
Well, as Councilwoman, I believe that sometimes residents have questions about council meetings, and we're prepared to answer those questions. Also, we can take concerns about the streetlights, alleys, tall weeds that are neglected, which our city works awfully hard on trying to keep up with all the vacancies and foreclosures that we have.
Yeah, that is difficult. Our street department has really had its challenges this year. It seemed like we were sailing smoothly with cleaning up some of the properties, and then that storm hit the end of June, and with all the trees, we just we had a lot of cleanup to do, which really unfortunately took away from some of the cleanup in our alleys. We do have a
we had mentioned about the Crime Watch, that it's all about being accessible to our residents, not just at election time only. It's that we're there all the time, mm-hmm. for them.
Absolutely. You know, it was kind of funny. The last time there was an election, of course, the Edison meetings have been going on for quite some time, and they're monthly, and I have been doing them. And it's really funny, kind of starting in February, the candidates start coming out, you know, February, March, April, and then that first meeting in May, they're all there. Mm-hmm. And then after the election is over, nobody shows up.
Absolutely.
So I feel as if we as council people have a responsibility to our residents, to be there and to be accessible and let them know that we care about the city, not just at election time. This is our home.
Absolutely.
So, Joe from Highland, thanks for calling. How are you?
Good morning. Being a firm believer in Crime Watch, and I try to attend every Highland Crime Watch, I firmly believe in that. I have a question, or possibly, what would be wrong? Now, you mentioned poor neighborhoods, poverty, and or whatever. There are people that rise above poverty, teenagers. What would be wrong in having a teenager, possibly, because a lot of crimes are committed by teenagers, to show this is how this kid made it. He came from a very poor background. He made it. And to have him speak, and this is how far you can go on your own many times. You don't need money all the time to be successful.
You're absolutely right, Joe. Cleanliness and and concern,
moral character.
And concern for your neighborhood should not have socioeconomic boundaries. I can tell you this, Joe. For the past year, I have been trying to get together with the superintendent of our schools here in the city of Hammond. And I would like to develop a program that rather than children being suspended from school, because this is what they want. They misbehave because they don't want to be in school and they're going to get a couple of days off. Well, rather than them having the time off from school, my proposal is that they have to go and work for the city in the street department.
Great
or the
idea.
Park department. We've had our challenges trying to get this accomplished for whatever reason, but I am not going to give up. I feel strongly that our children need to know if you throw a bottle of water, an empty bottle of water, on your street, you know what? You may be the one picking that up tomorrow because you were suspended from school.
Can you emphasize to them many times that one person can make a difference? It doesn't take a group of people. One person could have because it could spread to one person, another person, another person.
You're absolutely
and
right.
And I have one final question.
Yes.
Dr. King had a march in his memory to Washington, D.C. I listened to parts of it, and I must have missed it. But Dr. King must be rolling around in his grave. Did you hear anything mentioned about cut out all the crime, certainly cut out the gang violence, and the positive notes there?
Well, Joe, I don't know that we had the challenges at that time in our history that we do now as far as the support that we give some of our residents. I think Dr. King was spot on.
Exactly.
I grew up in Lansing. I didn't know what was going on outside of my little corner of the world. And I do have to say, my husband and I went and saw the movie The Butler the other night. And I left there with a heavy heart. I felt embarrassed that people were treated the way they were based on the color of their skin. And you know, I don't see color. I don't want to see color. I think that all of us working together is the way that we can make this world a better place.
I'm going to hang up and close on this one point there, but I did not hear, what little I heard, I didn't hear from anybody talking about let's cut out the violence. Instead of complaining sometimes, let's cut out the violence and work together to make this a better country.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
thank
Joe.
You very much.
I appreciate it. All righty, we do have another caller. I think I might know this guy. I saw him this morning. Good morning, sweetheart. It's my husband, Phil.
Good morning. And I can barely hear you on the radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Leaders. You know, we're always looking for leaders.
You there?
Yes.
Okay.
In the 3rd District on Sherman Street, where there's problems over there, they had a great leader, Lou May Starlings.
Yes.
She serviced the area and helped so many people, but she passed away. And that area specifically is looking for a leader to emerge or step forward. But it's all over the city. If you feel as if though you have something to contribute, please come to one of these meetings and volunteer. There's a lot of opportunities to make a difference. That's one that certainly Lula May did for years.
Absolutely. And, you know, I might add that that was the street that you grew up on. I shouldn't say, but it was many years ago. It was, as you've told me, it was the street was lined with trees, kids playing baseball out in the street, and it is far different now than what it was then, and it's unfortunate. I do attend the Lafayette and Columbia Crime Watch meetings, and as well as Dan, and there is a gentleman who lives on that street who has had to deal with some of this this horrible stuff going on over there, and he's just a nice guy who wants to live a peaceful life, and I think that he is a leader in the making on that street. So we encourage everyone to step up.
You know, and I would like to acknowledge you both for the many meetings that you still attend even after being elected. You don't stay home, you're out in the community.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
for noticing that. All righty. Well, moving on a little bit, Dan, I did want to touch real quickly on a rash of thefts that are going on, and it's of catalytic converters in our neighborhoods. In my neighborhood, on Tapper from 171st to Spruce, there were several catalytic converters that were stolen. So I sent an email out to my email list, and I got a response from a gal who whose brother lives in Calumet City, and in one night there were 12 catalytic converters stolen. These guys must work really fast, but I'm told that there's platinum in these things, and they turn them into scrap yards or you know, whomever. In Hammond, we have an ordinance in place that prevents those thieves from fencing the stolen property in Hammond. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that ordinance, Dan?
Sure thing, Councilwoman. If cash for gold, a pawn shop, or scrapyard take in any items, they're required by law to keep file and have pictures taken of these items. They keep these copies of identification from the person turning these items in, because before everything was worked by check, cash, and now everything's mm-hmm. working by check only. Mm-hmm. They must pay the customer by check only. That gives our police department a paper trail to follow in case of some of the items that are stolen. Unfortunately, the surrounding communities are not required to follow the same rules that we have.
Right, right.
That's a misfortune.
Isn't that, though? Because they're taking these things and then they're going across the state line and turning them in. And I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But at any rate, the bottom line is, if you hear something going on in the middle of the night, I know I never would, because once I fall asleep, I am out. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and said, oh, it rained. And my husband said, rained? My God, we had a horrible thunderstorm and I slept through it. So I wouldn't hear somebody stealing a catalytic converter. But if for someone who does hear a noise in the middle of the night, or your dog starts barking, please get up and look. Call the police. Tell them that you hear something. They will come out and take a look at it. Well, we've only got 2 minutes left. See, Dan, that went faster than I thought.
Sure did.
Actually, I wanted to talk about a great program that I've been fortunate to be a part of, and the residents of the 4th District. Edison Community Watch has kind of expanded, and we call our program On the Road. And we have gone to the Golden Manor Senior Apartments. They didn't have a recycling program over there because they are a multi-family dwelling. They're not required to. So we decided to implement a recycling program, and the seniors really got involved in it. And then we found out about a program that the Lake County Solid Waste was offering a bench made of recycled material for 400 pounds of plastic bottle caps. So I sent out an email, and the community has been great. We are now at 650 pounds. We qualify for the first bench, and we are the first in Lake County to receive that bench. So hats off to the seniors. Hats off to the Edison neighborhood. I can tell you I've come home on many occasions and found bags of bottle caps hanging on my door or on the front porch.
They did that in a short time, too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, since June. Well, anyway, let me see. Edison Community Watch meets September 4th, which is Wednesday, next week. We meet at 6:30 at Edison School. Thank you, Councilman at Large Dan Spitali. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it. I had a great time.
Of course. Thank you, Region. And we look forward to talking to you next month. And remember, community is not just about me. It's about us.